This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Portbred. We'll try and entertain you a little bit on the second part of the programme. I've got a headline here because I think this is well worth noting, because it is proper music other than Bob Dylan.
I want some.
And I want it now. So can somebody please get Eric some download vouchers for Christmas? Because in 2013, there is a new Jimi Hendrix coming out with apparently tracks that have never, ever been heard before. Which is out of this world. I want them.
Yeah, now.
Now, instantly. Do you know, Lee, where are you?
I'm here.
Are you? Okay. One of the greatest...
He's not fazed by Hendrix.
He's obviously far too...
Even though Hendrix worked magic with some Bob Dylan stuff, I mean, particularly Along the Watchtower. And in fact, it was so good that Bob Dylan said that he found stuff in there that he'd never realised was in there, and he wrote the thing. Fantastic. Hendrix was just so wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. And the way he did the Star Spangled Banner at Woodstock,
what a surprise. Absolutely.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Are we not getting any comment from Mr. Banks?
Well, I was just waiting for you to rest your cases and become a little less enthusiastic about a man who was quite a good guitarist. He probably was up there.
Quite a good guitarist.
He probably was. Probably was up there with Bert Whedon.
Better than your mum.
Sorry, Dorothy.
You've never heard my mum on her G string. Her hair on the G string.
You are going to be in so much trouble, Mr. Banks. You are going to be in so much trouble. She's going to slap you.
But anyway, I just have to say we all eulogise Jimi Hendrix. And Jimi Hendrix was. He was as good. He could have been in The Shadows. He could have been in anything like that. But he wasn't a patch on people like Link Wray. Link Wray was the man who taught Jimi Hendrix to play guitar.
Not like that.
He blinking well did. Link Wray was the world's greatest axe man ever. He had one lung and he was a Red Indian and he could play anything. And he taught Jimi Hendrix to play. Jimi Hendrix was nothing compared to Link.
I'll give up. I'm just going to turn him down. It's easier. Has he stopped yet? That's better.
Jimi Hendrix is really good. And Mark's quite right. He did actually do a couple of good songs. And he did a brilliant, absolutely brilliant version of Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone. He did probably one of the best versions of Like a Rolling Stone. And he
the
did
only
some
one
like,
worth listening to.
Don't Go Chasing Waterfall. Oh, no, it's not him, is it?
No.
And that one about Castles in the Air. Oh, that's not him either,
is it?
Either,
is it? No. So your knowledge of Jimi Hendrix is a bit weak.
That was The Carpenters.
Yeah. anyway, Jimi Hendrix's new album is due for release on the 5th of March in the US. We don't know what the UK release date is yet, but I'm going to keep nagging the PR company so they tell me. Because
if it's downloaded, surely it's going to be global, isn't it?
I don't know, because don't forget a lot of the sites where they do it now are geo-locked, so you can only get them at certain times.
Just get a private proxy.
You'll get a proxy to America.
Sorry, I'm not allowed to say that on the radio. Do not do that, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's a bad thing to do. But I suppose the only thing I'm scared about slightly is will it come up to the sort of classics like Voodoo Child, All Along the Watchtower, that sort of thing?
Yeah,
well,
it?
He did. He played snooker as well, you know.
Didn't he?
Like I'm interested.
Yeah, he wrote a song about it.
Like I'm interested.
Yeah, he did.
Purple Bays.
Right. Purple Bays. That's got to be your worst of 2012. That has got to be your worst of 2012. Shall I do my worst one?
Go on, then.
How do you ensure that a worm isn't lonely?
You cut it in half.
Bingo!
Oh, really? Oh, no, that's shocking.
That's not only the worst joke ever, that's actually cruel.
No, it's not.
You do it with a spade.
Yeah, that's how they multiply.
I tell you what, you said I was in I was in trouble with my mother.
Yeah.
Because of her hair on the G-string. Yeah. But it was because this is, Anna was really in trouble with this, because she got herself a new puppy and it was obnoxious. It really was obnoxious. It used to jump on your legs, and it was a girl puppy, and it used to like.
Are you saying this puppy didn't like you?
No, it loved me. It never stopped doing things to me leg that you only do in the privacy of your own bedroom. And it used to just do everything. And she said, I'm going to have to get it spayed. And I just turned to her and I said, it should be it with one.
You were dead. Anyway, this will get them going. The blood will rush. Facebook to stop public privacy votes, apparently, because they've had all this stuff before, and because they've got to such a huge number of users, they reckon that a vote will only be worthwhile if they can get more than 300 million users to participate.
It's absolutely shameful.
Why?
Facebook, the Genghis Khan of the new civilization.
Facebook has got so much power, and quite frankly, and they don't know how to handle it. Mm. They seem to be out of contact with the idea of how they're all about an interface, but they themselves can't interface with their own clients, with their own fans. And I think that this causes them constant problem. They seem to be, very, very, very awkward in their dealings with people, really.
It is awkward. I agree with you. It's a very awkward mix.
Facebook is the Hitler of our new youth, in all honesty. It is absolutely.
You've got one simple difference.
Insidious.
One simple difference.
It wants to take over the world. That's
if you don't want to go on Facebook, go to Google Plus.
Well, yeah, and if you didn't want to be caught by Hitler's plans to take over the world, you've got to live somewhere else, Mars.
Exactly.
But no, they want to take over the world. Just like Hitler did. And the absolute travesty of what they do is that they are so insidious that they make everybody think that they are your friend, and you put photographs up on there and you tell your secrets to the world. It is terrible. And
let me just tell you a story of yesterday, dear boy.
God, you're shouting in my earphones. I'm taking them off.
Good. Shouting in your earphones. I was very chuffed yesterday because Nick...
Chuffed actually means sexually excited.
Thank you. Hello, Nick David, who's in the US and will be listening to us. I haven't been in touch with Nick for more than 15 years. He found me because I was posting some radio stuff on Facebook. We met up yesterday, had a good chat, phoned each other afterwards, had a laugh, a good bit of a giggle, and an old friend was reconnected with this person because of Facebook. Now, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. That is what they have it. You're talking about it needs 300 million people to make a vote to actually decide what this world domineering thing should actually be doing. And it says 30% of its users, 300 million people have got to use it, or they're going to vote, or they're going to ignore it. Mm-hmm. And to defend it, you come up with one person.
No, but that...
got in touch with you.
I'm one person.
He could have chucked a bottle with a note in it into the Atlantic Ocean. It could have floated across as 300 million to one chance
Lee, Slovakia's landlocked. It can't do that.
It could have bounced out of the water on one of the
waves
and fell into the back of a wagon and been driven out there.
I think there's an easy answer to all this. I've said it so many times before. If you get upset with Facebook, just don't go there. It's the same as a television channel. If you don't like it, don't go there.
It isn't that, though, is it? It's because Facebook entices you in. It's like the Pied Piper.
Can you not think?
I can think.
If I stick my fingers in a fire, are you going to put yours in there?
If you did it, Eric, you know I would.
Well, apparently the reason for the 300 million vote counting is because they now have over 1 billion users. And the problem is they are a company and we don't look at them as a company. And
that's what I'm saying. It sells itself with pausity and disrespect. It's a con. It cons people into believing it is your friend and it's your part of your family and it wants to see all your family snaps and know when your birthday is and tell them. Yeah, shut.
If you don't want your birthday to be known, you switch it off. Simple. You just untick a box and nobody knows.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. There's all these things you can do. Yeah. What it is that Facebook entices you to do it.
But you've just ignored me completely. If you don't want your birthday to be known to the public, you just switch it off. You have.
You're ignoring me.
Yes.
I'm saying people are enticed into doing it, and they don't know what they do.
Yeah, but if they get into a car and can't drive it, that's their problem.
You can't say forgive Facebook because they know not what they do. They know exactly what they do.
So what happens if you get in a car and can't drive it, have an accident? Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't my fault. I didn't. Mr. Ford didn't tell me how to drive it.
That's just rubbish.
It's the same thing. Mark's being quiet.
Yeah, well, I'm just listening to it, but I really don't know what to say about it, really. I don't like Facebook. I don't like the way it's organised. I think it really is out of touch. You know, I don't really believe that everybody really thinks that those so-called friends are their friends. Do they really? Are they so silly?
Genuinely, Mark, honestly, I really think that a lot of people do think that those people are the friends.
Possibly.
And really? you could say that actually, and there would be people who probably will write in and say, but yes, but I have made friends. I said something today about the church. I said that the Church of England is a pretend church.
Lee, don't do that. We're doing that later.
All right. Well, no. Just to let you know. Anyway, I said that it was a pretend church.
Yeah.
And somebody got really upset and wrote in and said, you should come down to my church and see what good we do. That's the way people think on Facebook. That was a facile, ludicrous argument. It doesn't mean it's not a pretend church. It just means you've got some good people there.
Right.
There are
people
on Facebook.
What I'm going to say is, if it is you use Facebook, do bother to stop by and learn how to use it. Look at your privacy settings. If you don't want people to see your family photos, switch the setting off so nobody else can see them, or keep them private.
Just don't go on there.
And if you don't want that service, don't go there.
But once it's got a billion people on there, how many doors are you going to have to knock and say, listen, get off Facebook. This is what it's doing to you. Get off it. They have controlled a billion people in this world. And you and I are part of it. I think there's only Mark who isn't.
No, Mark's on Facebook.
Are you on Facebook? See, you're a dick as well.
The Consumer Action Group is on Facebook. I'm not. Well, I mean, I have got an account, but it's I don't use
it. I know the Consumer Action Group's on because I get messages every now and again when you've done something good. I see it.
Oh, right.
Because it comes up when it does something good.
Yeah, it does. It comes up and says, Consumer Action Group, blah, 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 what they've done. And I go, oh, cool. And I put it on my timeline and tell everybody.
All right. Well, that's very kind.
Well, no, because it makes sense. You know, if someone's found a solution to a consumer problem without even trying, not that you don't care about me, you understand, Mark. I know this. He just bungs it on his Facebook thing. I see it and go, oh, that's really cool. I like that one, so I stick it on my timeline. I tell everybody else what a great thing.
Well, that's very kind.
I think if it operates on that kind of level, I think it is actually a good thing. But it's when it operates on the level of persuading people that they are a good, that it is good for them to be on Facebook, to pretend to be friends with somebody who lives across the world, and to put all the pictures on and to show the world the secrets and tell them what they're doing.
We just don't share secrets.
I don't know, but people do. People don't know about not doing that. People
just don't know
about it. Well, you've not told a billion people. We don't
know
even
that.
Even us don't have that many listeners.
No, I know we don't, but there you go. Anyway, Marble Falls, which is a place in America.
This is just disgusting.
A woman has been arrested after dragging a small dog behind an SUV, which is one of those big things that, if you don't know what I mean, not a proper car, it's a big car, and it's a little Yorkshire Terrier. And this 27-year-old woman decided to tie it to the back, a Yorkshire Terrier, which weighs less than a couple of kilos, and then drive down the road at 10 miles an hour to exercise the dog. And it gets worse.
Wait, she did that, didn't she?
It gets worse.
Sure, exercise, yeah.
It gets worse. The policeman had a problem because he couldn't speak to her because she didn't understand the language.
I know it's terrible. You see, people around here in this green and septic land called the UK, in the countryside where I live, actually exercise their dogs by taking them for walks on their bikes. You know, they'll tie the leash to the handlebars of the bike. Absolutely ludicrous so and outrageously silly. And yet it's actually recommended in this story. Ludicrous, but that woman...
Maybe it's different in America.
Should be banned. That woman should be banned from keeping any kind of animal for now and forever.
Well, you'll be pleased to know, dear listener, that Mimi the dog is now with the foster family, and she's having to have her paws bathed in salt four times a day to make them better, so she will get better.
That's once a day each foot.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
This dog, by the way, was previously called Maxie and had very long legs. By the end of this incident, they were worn down, and it's now Dachshund.
Dachshund, yes. Yeah,
in fact, it reminds me, I used to have an open-top sports car, an old MGB, and we also had a family
dog. And you used to take your budgie out for a walk?
No, I used to take the dog. I can't remember where I was taking it, but anyway, I was taking the dog, and the dog loved it, actually, or seemed to love it, and it was sort of sitting on the passenger seat with the leash just sort of attached loosely around the handbrake. And I don't know what was happening. I mean, we were only going about sort of 5 miles an hour in heavy traffic on the North Circular Road, and suddenly Bimbo, for it was called Bimbo.
Was it blonde?
No, it wasn't. It was black and white, you know, bits of everything. Suddenly jumped out of the blinking car, and I think probably got quite a shock to find that the ground was moving. And I stopped very, very quickly. And I can remember to this day standing up on the seat, bending over, picking the bugger up. Oh, sorry, am I allowed to say that? Anyway,
well, you've done it now.
And I'm sorry. And bring back the... And I have to say, even just that, which was only a few seconds, his feet were a bit torn.
Well, I think the worst part of the end of this case is that evil woman Sanchez has a hearing next week where she'll get a chance to convince a judge that she should be allowed to keep the dog. I would ban her from having any animals for life.
I used to take my dog out in the car, and it was just funny. It was a big dog. It was a Labrador, and he'd sit on the passenger seat, and every time we went around a bend, he used to think he was on a motorcycle, and he used to bounce like that.
Subject very close to my heart now, boys and girls, tell you in a minute. An ultrasound check could save lives. So very true. A couple are hoping that NHS bosses, and we implore all of you to get behind this. It's a huge campaign that's getting behind it. To demand all hospitals test for signs of potentially deadly birth complications. And this is a couple whose baby died, sadly, a few days after it was born. If they'd been able to do the ultrasound check, and it's not a guarantee, they possibly could have found out that there was a problem with the baby and possibly handle it completely differently. It is only a possibility, as much as several journalists are going, it's a fact. I'm going to tell you, it's a possibility. And the reason I say that is because when my now 18-year-old daughter... hang on, someone's ringing me. Oh, no, can't be me then. My 18-year-old daughter was actually born with an open heart valve, which is quite dangerous, and she didn't breathe for about 3 minutes. It was my first child, and I was kind of devastated. But the wonderful doctors there managed to get her up to a teaching hospital in London. They sorted it all out. They're absolutely wonderful people. And now she's, you know... an 18-year-old driving everybody nuts. No, she's not really. But and you often hear her on here. She's the voice of the child's voice of RTI, which she recorded many years ago.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's Caroline. And we actually applied to the radio authority, now Ofcom, and said to them, look, this is ridiculous. So I had a meeting with them, went up there and said, look, can I have a 28-day FM licence to raise some money for the hospital to actually buy an incubator, an ultrasound thingy with an incubator and all the rest of it, for these types of children. And the radio authority graciously said, yes, of course you can. The rights music people were wonderful. Everybody was really, really, really good about it. And now Bromley Hospital actually has the Caroline Wiltshire Ward, where these children
go. Really?
Yeah, that wasn't anything we asked for. They did it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kids can... since that time 18 years ago can be tested.
Yeah.
And it's, you've just got to get on that. And on our program guide on Scrib today, boys and girls, we will leave the National Health Service in the UK, the National Screening Committee links, and other links to hospitals so that you can vote with your keyboard, and hopefully mm-hmm. some other parents will not have to suffer the grave loss of a child just a couple of days after it's born. And I would implore you, please go and support these people. Please.
Well said. Absolutely well said. Yeah.
Thank you. Let's move on. here we go. Blood pressure time again. David Cameron warns any rise in US spending, EU spending. What did I say the other one? US, EU, because when they get a cold in the US, we get a flu over here. EU spending is quite wrong as he arrives for budget showdowns in Brussels. And what happens? There's all the European thingies and leeches and bureaucrats out there going, I want more, give me more jobs. And they're building a new place while everybody else is being told, don't spend your money. I do not get it.
Well, I think we have to be sensible about this. And I'm shocked and surprised at David Cameron's attitude. I think the amount of money we actually earn from the EU is absolutely staggering. And our commitment to the EU, apart from fiscal, is quite embarrassing, really. But I do think that the EU interferes in every aspect of our lives.
It's worse than Facebook.
Well, it isn't really, is it? Because it doesn't affect as many people.
It does. It affects the whole... I mean, you know, again, the EU does some great things, like when they brought down the costs of mobile phone calls, data roaming, all those sort of things. Great. Marvellous. Wonderful.
Yeah. But like Facebook, that's just a drop in the ocean of the harm that they actually do.
Well, I've got to say, it's the same with the EU. If all this billions... I mean, we're
that's
talking...
That's what I've just said!
You could get Greece out of debt with the amount of money they've got as a budget.
Yeah. Oh, you could get Greece out of debt with Wonga.com.
Oh, sorry, nobody in the US is going to understand a word of that. So all I'm going to say to the politicians is, just be in tune with the rest of us. We're all having to be a bit sensible. Why can't you?
Exactly, and why doesn't David Cameron do something sensible like send Jeremy Clarkson out on another trade mission to India where there's actually a marketplace that we could actually get involved with and deal in?
Okay, we'll do. Let's move on to Russia, which is a story I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it, because just this week, Russia has agreed to lift a 16-year ban on importing British beef and lamb. The UK... I didn't know this was still in place.
I haven't got Russia on my list.
Yes, you have. Page 7.
Carry on, I'm fine.
Anyway, yes. Well, I mean, the thing is, why have they had these bans in the first place? I mean, I seem to remember that France also was pretty tardy in lifting the ban, even though many, many other countries had given British beef the all clear. And I always figured that really it's about protecting their own markets rather than protecting their own people. How's
well,
that?
I think the funniest thing at the time, I was doing some work with TV Sank in Paris, and I was asked to go over there. So I get over there, taxi driver said, where do you want to go? And he spoke the most beautiful English. He was a lovely guy. And I said, I've got plenty of time. Can you take me to a decent...
You got the only decent one then in the whole city.
I said to him, could you please take me to a restaurant where they sell beef on the bone? And he roared with laughter and said, not a problem. And he took me to this place. We had the most beautiful T-bone steak, which you couldn't have in Britain at the time, which was obviously 16 years ago. And it was just amazing. But I was shocked to see that there was still a ban in there from Russia on the British beef. A couple of shots.
I found it. It was the one we've just done about David Cameron.
Correct. We're now on to page 8. This I find horrendous, but I also understand it. The family of an SAS war hero has warned that they could lose their home after the SAS guy was jailed for having an illegal weapon that was given to him in Iraq in his home.
Yeah, what a scandal.
Total scandal. Total. Yes. Listen, oi, you lot out there in whatever it is land, wake up. Yes, the bloke made a mistake. Yes, he shouldn't. I quite agree. He shouldn't have had a gun at home. But giving him an 18-month sentence for possessing a 9mm gun is just nuts, because he's one of the few people who probably knows how to use it.
Well, I mean, it's not only that,
that's
anyway.
A really good point.
I think that, you know, what apparently seems to be the case is that he's suffered brain damage. Okay, I mean, he's suffered as the result of being, you know, becoming a hero on behalf of the whole of the British public, and in fact, you know, in fact, all of the troops in there, and the whole war against terrorism.
Yep.
There seems to be, broadly speaking, an innocent mistake, maybe with a bit of carelessness, but you know, to get exactly as you say, 18 months for that, and I have to say, I'm very, very pleased, and it seems that public anger is rising against this, and, you know, very good, and hopefully now the ministry will start to see that they've got to be answerable to the public as well. You know, once again, you know, who is it? Who's the officials in the Ministry of Defence who are making these kind of stupid, stupid decisions? What on earth are these people thinking of?
Well, I think they need to go to prison, to be honest with
you. Well, they certainly ought to be out.
Yeah, exactly. And we move on to our final subject of this week, which is bliss to me, boys and girls. Total and utter bliss. As we move on to page 10 of our little notes, Lee makes the claim on his proposals.
I have got page 10.
Yes, you have. On his proposals this morning, he wrote in there, ho, 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 Bob Dylan is number 3 in the album charts. So, being the professional journalist I went over to the BBC Radio 1 official UK Top 40 album charts of the 18th of November 2012. Thank you, BBC. I looked down it, and I've gone to number 3, and new in at number 3 is the Rolling Stones.
No, I think that's meant to be Like a Rolling Stone.
Oh, is that what it is, Mark?
Yeah, Like a Rolling Stone.
Oh, I see. It's a typo.
Yes, I think that. Isn't it, Lee?
There is something called investigative journalism. and the basic element of investigating journalism is to think outside the box. His Royal Bobnesses last album, Tempest,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Was released on the 18th of September.
Uh-huh.
And immediately arrived at number 3 in the UK album charts. According to Billboard, it remained there for 3 weeks. It is no longer there. No, it's now at the top of the country music chart album.
Well, nobody cares about
that. In his previous album, in 2009, Together Through
Life,
went to number 1.
Was this just a little mistype on the headline then?
No, not at all. All that happened was that I was doodling on my keyboard, and out of my doodling his Royal Dylan's album, and it just said Bob Tempest number 3. So I checked, and it said Bob's album was at number 3 in September of this year. So all I did, I just put a nice friendly note to my best friend on the list to say, hey, look, Uncle Bob was at number 3. And of course, he had to turn it into a personal attack on my integrity and on, you have to accept that Dylan's last album went to number 3, the previous album went to number 1, and his book has been
That's it, boys and girls, for this week. We'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.